What a beautiful day to come out and worship God. I just was focusing on worship, man. I was praising God today. There's so many things to be grateful for and to be thankful for. Last week we did a water and feed the park, and we adjusted. And adjustments, other than music ad-libs and music improvisation, I can do real easy, no problem. But adjustments out on the street after a plan, that gets me a little crazy. So we took 80 bag lunches, turkey Thanksgiving lunches, turkey and cheese sandwiches and bananas and fruit and things like that. 80 of them with four cases of water down to Cesar Chavez Park. And when we got there, we were going to give them all out. And it just so happens that another faith-based ministry was there giving hot food out. They had about 300 people there. God bless them. It was great. So we adjusted. And we went down to see North C Street and 16th, and there were people out and about. We wanted to maybe go to Loaves and Fishes, but they had their thing together. So we just went to, like, I think it was North B Street. And sure enough, there were people on the street. We handed 80 lunches out. A couple of them had a couple more than just one. But people were hungry, and it was a blessing to us. We had a crew out there with us, and all the cars sort of, carpooled down there, driving down there and parked on the street, and they just kept coming up and getting our lunches. It was such a blessing to us to really be Jesus' hands and feet, that Jesus would use us to serve him and to bless him in that service. Our mission statement is love God, love people, sharing our love for God and sharing his love for people. That's what our mission statement is. And we get to worship and praise, and we get to pray and hear the gospel and hear the words of God and really be into that. But also we get to express that love of God to other people like we did last week. We try to do it every week. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, we're finishing up a series that we've been in for a number of weeks. Doug preached last week, and it was really cool. It was about a thankless Thanksgiving, what it's like to be just thankless about it, just to have, I hear all this Thanksgiving crap and stuff like that, but I'm not very thankful for anything. Well, being in Jesus, walking with Jesus, being in this kingdom thing, being a Jesus believer, we have ways of getting around that thanklessness. By the way, how do you like the Christmas decorations? The restaurant did a great job, didn't I? No, the restaurant does it every year, and it's beautiful. I love it. Love it. Janie, put up the slide for before we really get into this. I want to do a promo. It's on the table. There's a little card. It's called Candles and Carols and Candles. It's Monday, December 22nd, coming up in about 3 weeks, a little more than 3 weeks, right? Monday, December 22nd at 7 p.m. We're going to be in here. We're going to be filling the streets with Christmas carols, very traditional Christmas carols. We have a string quartet coming in. You can dress up if you want, but if you don't want to, that's okay. We're going to want the little dog, Brian, to be in a little tuxedo. It'll be very funny, right? But anyway, be sure to take a couple of these cards with you and hand them out. It's going to be a very special night. Lots of different people coming in. A lot of sweet people. Please, please, if you know some street people, tell them to take a shower that afternoon. That's all I ask. It's just come anyway. You know, come and experience, share the love of Jesus. Absolutely. Add your voice to the sounds of the season in Midtown Sacramento. That's the 22nd. Be sure to take some cards with you. Okay. No, it's just right here, right in here. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about the light of the world that Jesus is. He's coming in, and we have sing Christmas carols. Very special. This is the last, as I said, it's the last talk on a thankless Thanksgiving. And the title is really important. It's When Times Are Tough, Thank God. When times are tough, thank God. How many people go through tough times? I go through tough times. I'm going through tough times right now, right, Jane? No, I guess not. She doesn't know. not with my wife. I'm not going through. I'm going great times. But when times are tough, ... thank God. Scripture tells us throughout the Bible, he's talking about that. When you get pooped on, give thanks to the Lord. Thank him in the times of trouble. It says, call it all joy when we suffer, Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us. When we suffer, call it joy, because something outside of that, through that suffering, through that hard time, through those tough times, guess what? God's going to do something in our hearts if we look to him and thank him. It's completely paradoxical to normal existence. Now, do you know what I mean by that? It's completely against our human nature. I'm going through tough times. I don't want to complain and bitch and moan and really, I'm going to be upset. That's sort of our natural tendency, isn't it? That's a human existence. And God understands that. Jesus acknowledged that. That's our life's thing. But the Bible tells us, yes, but we're to live supernatural, not natural. Our natural way of being is we complain and we're thankless and we're upset. God, Jesus says, yeah, but with me, guess what? You can live a supernatural life. You can find peace in the poop storm. That's my definition of joy. Peace in the poop storm. But the Apostle Paul, who was one of the main guys who wrote the Bible, wrote the New Testament, wrote lots of books, lots of letters, sort of teaching us how to be with Christ. His name's St. Paul. Anybody knows St. Paul? I know St. Paul.
He's my friend.
He what?
He's my friend.
He's your friend. He is your friend. He said this when he wrote a letter to the Philippians, although the Filipinos, I like to call them. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Now, Paul went through a lot of stuff. Paul was thrown in jail. Paul was stoned. Paul would almost drown. He was almost thrown overboard. He was bit by a snake. He was like smacked around and almost killed and thrown in jail and whipped and did all kinds of crazy things. And here he is saying, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Wow, that doesn't make sense to me when times are tough. Thank God. St. Paul didn't say to only be joyful in good times. That's easy, right? Even when times are tough, the Bible teaches we can be joyful if we follow this simple strategy. Four things, 4 points, okay? Simple strategy. Yeah, right. I love that. When the Bible says, just follow these simple strategies. Just follow these simple things. Yeah, really simple. But they are in themselves. Number one, don't worry about anything. What is he saying? Don't worry about anything. Am I we good here? I don't have your eyes or something. Everybody? Okay, I'm going to continue on. Worrying doesn't change anything. Worrying doesn't change a thing. It's stewing without doing. I love that. It's stewing without doing. It's worrying. It doesn't make your hair grow any longer. It may make it grow grayer. That's about it. There are no such things as born worriers. Here's another thing. You were taught to worry. Worrying is a learned response. Your parents are like, well, watch it. Don't go out in the street. No, I'm going to protect my kids. But there's a way to sort of not inbreed worry. You learned it from your parents. You learned it from your peers. You learned it from your experiences. There's all kinds of reasons to worry. My car breaks down. I run out of gas. I can't pay my rent. These are all experiences that could make you worry. What Jesus says is put your faith in me and just rest in me. And he doesn't say, I'll pay your rent. He'll say, you'll have peace so you can visualize the things that you need to do. So all those things that you're worrying about have become much less important, and you have ways of navigating through those things you worry about. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, can you dig it? Yeah, I knew you could. You learn from these experiences, and that's the good news. The fact that worry is learned means it can also be unlearned. That's the important thing. The more we get, the closer we get to Jesus, the more peace and joy we can have, more contentment we have with his tenets and how he suggests and says how we can live our lives more peacefully. The more we do that, the less we worry. So how do you unlearn it? Learn it. Jesus put it this way. He said it in Matthew. Oh, we missed the first one, didn't we, Jane? The second slide. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, keep it up. This is an interesting thing because Jesus is very logical, you know? Sometimes he's off the wall. He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to move and boom, it's gone. That blows my mind. That's kind of illogical for me. But then he says stuff like this. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. What is worrying about tomorrow going to help me with? Now, strategizing and handing over our plans for tomorrow to Jesus, that's a different story. Then we can sort of make plans according to what God has for us. But worrying is stressing and straining about things you have no control over. It's stewing without doing. Remember that. Jesus says, don't worry about it. We'll strategize about how to take care of that issue. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just stay where you are, he said. He's saying, don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. You know? Or unless you're keeping the sun off your head. Live one day at a time. Live in the now. Because how much time in our lives do we waste by not living now? Worrying about tonight, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what happened last week. I do that all the time, guys. I do that. I'm terrible at that. The one thing about talks, and some people call them sermons, I just call them talks, and God gives us these things, whoever's talking, for Doug or for me or for Jane, whoever shares, to preach to ourselves first. And I need this. I need this myself. When times are tough, thank God. Live one day at a time. Going back to St. Paul, he says again in the Philippians, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Now that's a good idea. Get connected with the Lord. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Hold that up there, Jane. I love that. When it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces your worry at the center of your life. In other words, worry, worry, worry takes our eyes off of who? Jesus. Because what are we thinking about? We're thinking about me. And I got to just know this. When you're consumed with yourself, when I am consumed with me, I'm not walking how Christ wants me to walk. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not unimportant to God. God thinks so much of you, Brian, and you, John, and you, Doug, and you, Jane, and me. He thinks so much of us that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. So we're pretty cool. I kind of like that. We're pretty something. Pretty much something. But as soon as our worries and our troubles take our eyes off of following Jesus and everything we do, the work we do, the play that we do, the way we drive our car, I'm troubled with that. I understand that. I'm a sinner with that. But whatever we do is giving glory to God. Whenever we take our eyes off of that, Jesus is going, oh man, I got a better life for you. You follow me? Is that something you understand? Good. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Okay, don't worry about anything. That's number one. Easy to do. No problem. Right? Yeah, right. Number two, pray about everything. Pray about everything. As I've talked to people who it's like they haven't read King David's Psalms. Have you ever, you heard the book of Psalms? David, King David was this really cool king back, way back in the Old Testament. He was a musician, and he was a king, and he was smart, and he was handsome. He was also an awful sinner. He was in really bad shape, but he was a man after God's own heart. David was, he wrote Psalms, and Psalms are songs. And David would pray about everything. And some people don't know that you can pray about anything and everything. I'm worried about my English test tomorrow. God, I don't think my brain is right. I want to be in your thoughts and in your wisdom, God, so I can succeed in this English test. I pray that you give me your blessing in this job interview. Lord, I might get evicted from my house. I might get evicted from my home. Lord, give me grace and mercy so that doesn't. Pray about anything. This is the other thing about praying about everything. Pray about the good things. We always end up, don't we, if you pray at all, don't you end up praying, oh God, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope they didn't die in that car accident. I hope the snow, you pray about the bad things, and that's totally fine. We need his help, petitioning him for help, laying out things as sources. But pray and thank God for the good things as well. We tend to forget that sometimes. Instead of worrying, use your time for praying. Whenever you start worrying, go ahead and pray. Even if it's just a simple prayer like, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's it, just that. It's a great thing because you're acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're asking for mercy, things that I don't deserve, and you're confessing the fact that I know I'm a sinner. Little simple little prayer. Say it 1,000 times a day instead of worrying. Pray about everything. If you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a lot less to worry about because you wouldn't have much time to worry. Is God interested in that car payment or your rent? Yes, of course. He's interested in every detail of our lives, everyone. That means you can take any problem you face to God. Okay, number two, don't worry about anything. Number two, pray about everything. Number three, thank God for in all things. In all things. You know the Lord's Prayer? If you guys are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, do you know that? Our Father who art in heaven. Brian, are you familiar with that? This is what it is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Here, I'm asking him to give me bread. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's the only prayer in the Bible that Jesus said, hey guys, if you want to pray, do it this way. That's why it's called the Lord's Prayer. Pray about everything. Thank God for all things. Pray with thanksgiving. The healthiest human emotion is not love, but gratitude. Because gratitude stimulates love. Love can sometimes stimulate gratitude, but often almost always it's the other way around. If I am grateful for Jane making that wonderful turkey sandwich yesterday, I love her that much more. And I love turkey sandwiches. I'm grateful. It actually increases your immunities, believe it or not, gratitude, thankfulness. It makes you more resistant to stress and less susceptible to illness. That's a stat that I was unaware of, but it sure makes sense. People who are grateful are happy, but people who are ungrateful are miserable because nothing makes them happy. There again, where is the focus on ungrateful people? Me. We're worried so much about what we don't have than giving thanks for the few, maybe few things that we do have. Can you imagine in this country of all places that there are ungrateful people? Even all the junk. I know there's lots of junk. Don't get me started on the federal government. It drives me crazy. Don't get me started on insurance companies. Don't get me started. There's a lot of junk. But can you imagine living in Somalia, for one? No, I don't want to live in Somalia. I'm sorry. I don't want to live in Liberia. I don't want to live in Africa. I'd like to go there and share the love of God for sure, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to be part of that culture. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for this place that we meet in every Sunday. Wow, cool, beautiful, wonderful place. I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Every Sunday, yeah. People who are ungrateful or miserable, nothing makes them happy. They'll never be satisfied. It's never good enough. We're always thinking we need more, 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 more. So if you cultivate the attitude of gratitude, whoops. If you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, of being thankful in everything, it reduces stress in your life. Generosity, giving of yourself, giving of your time, your treasure, and your talents. Generosity begets generosity, the Bible tells us. If you're generous, if you're thankful and grateful to someone, that breeds and breathes and exacerbates more gratitude and thankfulness. That's what happens. It's that type of thing. Just like if you love, love can exist elsewhere. Okay, number four. So we did, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, thank God in all things. Number four, think about the right things. Now this is important, guys. This is really important. Think about the right things. How often when we're worrying, we're thinking about my problems. I've got, well, how am I going to do this? I can't do that. I'm not going to have enough money. I'm this and that. I'm going to get sick. My car's going to break down. Right? We're thinking about the wrong things. If you want to reduce the level of stress in your life and all the things that are tough times, change the way you think. Because the way you think determines how you feel. Isn't that right? If I'm thinking, I'm so tired, or I didn't get enough sleep, you know, I'm so tired. I find myself doing that sometimes. Getting up at 5:15 in the morning on Sunday and sitting on the toilet. Well, that's where I first go. And I'm spending time going, I'm so tired. Man, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. What happens? You get even more tired. The next step is cranky, man. Of course, I'm never cranky on Sunday mornings. Never, ever cranky. Change the way you think. Okay, I'm tired, God, but guess what? I get to praise you today. I get to do something. I get to play that guitar and sing songs that if by some fashion or another I was in another country, I could get my head blown off for doing that song. And that's the truth. I'm not going to worry about being a little tired on Sunday morning because I get to do that. The way you feel determines how you act. So if I'm tired and, Jane says good morning, I say, shut up, forget that. You know, the way I act is really stupid if I'm tired and cranky and all of a sudden going down that road, worrying about if I can get enough sleep the next day. The Bible teaches that if you want to change your life, you need to change what you're thinking about. Okay? Yeah, but I got problems. Things are tough. Jesus acknowledged that. He said, okay, come to me when you're tired and you're weary. I understand that. I was that way too. But I'm going to change the way I think. This involves a deliberate, conscious choice where you choose to think about the right things. It's a deliberate, conscious effort. It takes an effort to switch your thinking. We need to choose to think on the positive things and on God's word. So you knew me. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm a worshiper. I'm all about Jesus. You knew I was going to talk about the Bible. You knew I was going to talk about God's Word. I know that. You probably figured that. And if I didn't, I'd probably get slapped by Doug. The fact of the matter is, we can pray, but really, if you want to know what Jesus says and what God thinks of how we should act, read the Bible. That's a real simple, right? That's enough. I once worked with a pastor who would do a marriage counseling. I learned this from him. I'll always use this technique. The man and wife are thinking about divorcing, and they're Christians, and they're thinking about divorcing. They're not getting along. They're fighting amongst each other, and they've got stresses and straining. Obviously, they're worrying about each themselves rather than the love they share with each other. But they're having a problem. They're across the table, and Rick looked at him, and he kept complaining. I think this was the third time he'd seen him, and he just got fed up to hear. And he reached into his drawer. He took out the Bible. He says, "This is what I want you to do to fix your marriage. Here, read this, now get out of my office and never come back." He said, "Read this," and handed him a Bible. That's the way to prevent tough things from beating you down. That's the way. You have to hear from God. And you can hear from God, and you should hear from God during praise and singing songs and worshiping and prayer. All those things are valid, but read your Bible. Doug, I, and Jane, or whoever's up here talking, we'll feed you some Bible, feed you the Word of God. We've already heard from Jesus. We've heard from St. Paul. That's really good. I feed you that. But the most important thing you'll get from being at L19 is learning to feed yourself. Read the Bible. And it will tell you the things to think on, the positive things. In Philippians, St. Paul said this: "Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me." He's talking about himself, at what he learned from Jesus, right? "Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies." The blending of souls, the blending of voices, the blending of hearts. That's God's harmonies. Isn't that a beautiful... It's a message, the Message translation. I love that. Some people put it in a different way, and we'll say it once more later. I love it. Keep that up, Jane. So what is the result of not worrying? Praying with everything, giving thanks, and focusing on the right things. Those are the four points, right? Again, St. Paul says this. Go ahead. Experience God's peace. The capitalizations, the emphasis was my own. Experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's one of the first, and not in that translation, but it was the first scripture I ever learned. The peace that passes all understanding. It's not the first scripture, quite frankly. It's one of the first scriptures. The peace that passes all understanding. Keep my heart and my mind in the knowledge and love of God. A peace that just, I don't understand it. All of a sudden, I've got this peace because I'm not worrying about myself. It's not me focused. It's you, Jesus, focused, and your people. Can you dig that? Yeah. When I say, "Can you dig that?" you go, "Can you dig that?" Yeah. Thank you. I knew you could. Good. God says he has the best interest at heart for us. He said this long before, thousands of years before St. Paul was writing, with a guy in the Old Testament prophet named Jeremiah. Some of you maybe know some of his work here. But he says this. And he's speaking for God. A prophet, you know what the prophets are? The prophets were speaking God's words to especially the Old Testament people, the old, the children of Israel. He was speaking to God's people, God's word. And he said this, that God was telling you this, and therefore, God's telling it to each one of us. That's the important thing to remember. It wasn't just for those guys back then. It's for us, each one of us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. So worrying keeps our eyes off of that. Keeps us away from that promise. If we're worrying so much about the troubles and the issues that we run into, the tough times when things get tough, and we don't thank God, we're going to miss out on the promise right there. He said, I have the plans for you, and they're made to make you good, to get you out of these tough times. So don't worry. It won't do you any good. Thank him in all things, even if you can't understand what the heck God is doing in your life. Give thanks to him. You'll hear me say this often about praise and worship, which is a form of thanksgiving, a form of gratitude, praising God. Thank you, God, you know. Your name is a top mighty tower, you know. Your name, singing songs to the Lord. It's a form of giving thanks to him. And you've probably heard me say, if you spend any time in here, about worship, we worship God because he deserves it, because of who he is, not by the things he gives us. And just think of all the wonderful, glorious things he gives us, the peace that passes all understanding, love, the connections and relationships with people. So, in all things, give thanks to the Lord. Even in the times of thanklessness, I've been there. I know what it's like to feel, yeah, but. And as we're sort of getting into this holiday season, next week we start kicking off the reason in our lives to be ultimately thankful. Jesus Christ. Jesus in our lives. Jesus is here. Emmanuel. He is here. He's alive. He's not some cool thing that happened centuries ago. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Da-da-da-da-da.